the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gami Pahipa, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is a holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry to correct dharana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Hearing in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Jutiyampi tatiyampi samaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Would you like to look at? Jenny Stress. So I had a fun practice experience this morning. Well, I'm just having again one of those times where it's like, oh right, when you pay attention, everything enlightens. So Sadie and I have been seeing a lot of the property because, of course, every time we have a big storm, there's a lot to check out, and that happens about every 48 hours right now. So we were walking this morning and just enjoying the beauty, and I was pretty far out there and realizing, oh, I'm overdressed, you know, I've got too many clothes on, and this isn't really that much fun, but that's okay, I can practice with that, and you know what, we're pretty close anyway, so... So here we go. So we come around the bend, and there are two humongous trees, new ones down. Boom, boom. It cut really pretty extraordinary, actually. One came from this side of the road, one came from the, and they're probably 4 feet apart, two huge pines. And we've had dozens of those in the last few weeks. And so we got up to it, and we couldn't proceed. I could have. Because, you know, I can climb under this one and over that one and around this one. And that was the really interesting thing was, and meanwhile, now we're really close to the building. But not really. And to watch that first hanging in there to see, like, okay, let's see. Can we go under that? Can we go around? And probably, if she and I could have talked, there probably was a way to do it. Because I could have said, hang on, okay, go under that part, now wait there, and then we'll go around this part, and then... But what I watched her do, and this is huge right now with her, is so I climb over the first part, and she starts to get desperate to do what she needs to do it. So she starts to head down this steep hill to go around it, and she's not going to be able to get back up that hill. So it was just one of those places of realizing, okay, we're going to go back around. And that's just how it is. That's just what we've got. And that to watch that acceptance, and also the, and that would not be my first choice. You know, just all of that. So coming back, coming up from your walk around to see how, I feel like somehow with this sort of the last episode of Survivor here. Anyway, so coming up to the building, there are two huge trees now.
Yeah.
and having your older dog mm-hmm. with you.
Yeah.
And coming up to them, and you can figure out how you can get around, and you can probably even explain it to her. Mm-hmm. But if you make a move, she gets desperate and wants to do whatever she needs to do mm-hmm. to get to you, and, mm-hmm. and what she needs to do won't work. Mm-hmm. And having, and really just dealing with all of that, trees down, mm-hmm. fourth storm in a row, mm-hmm. a dog who can't make it will have to go around, and somehow it's all okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and you reflect that back. This is some months back when I was looking at kind of Sadie and my relationship with her right now and just all of that. It's one of those places where I could get religious, right? Because I've realized for some time that a very important, fruitful practice for me is slowing down. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to slow down. You know, just like, because not even for cool, bad reasons, but like, wow, you know, there's just so much energy and so much enthusiasm and so many great things I want to do. And also, it could be so perfect, you know, because this could go there and that could go there and oh, that could, another. You know, I talk about it as the Tetris game, which was this very now primitive video game that they had when I was in college that for some reason the boys used to sit around and play for hours, but where the shapes, you'd fit them in just right and they'd click and then they'd disappear. Anyway, and I can't, both shame and health challenges that I have had have just kind of done this, like there's just no going fast. They're just, you know, I mean, so when I got to those trees, it was like, no, you just, it's not an option, which is so helpful because it's much easier to slow down when it's not an option than just from a place of the head, like, well, yeah. I really should slow down.
Yeah. So you're finding with both her limitations and some of the health limitations you've had that this practice opportunity you had this morning is not unique. You've had this kind of practice opportunity all along where you have to slow down, and the I, who loves to do stuff, who loves to get things organized and have things happen in a certain way and have them click in, can't operate at that speed.
Yeah.
And again, it's just a really fascinating practice opportunity.
Yeah, and then as you were saying that, what I saw was the other thing about it is that orientation of, there is very much an I in the moving fast orientation that doesn't have an expanded awareness. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't see, for example, that I'm part of an organization. And it's not just my bandwidth mm-hmm. and what I can envision and what I think would be great, but there's the bandwidth of the whole organization mm-hmm. involved. Mm-hmm. And just that what I've seen over and over and over is that things that, I don't know, to say are meant to happen, I don't really mean it in that way, but the things that are there to happen, happen when they happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that, I used to talk about it a lot when I was working on my hermitage, where, you know, it went through all kinds of stages of chaos for long stretches of time. And now it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's just what happens. Mm-hmm. It just, that happened recently with my office. I mean, for the longest time, I literally could barely get in my office because it was just, you know, I'd find this thing in such and such a place that was broken and I didn't want it to stay there, so I'd bring it to my office, and then this thing that needed to, and I wanted to clear out the clutter from the, and then, so then there's like mountains of things to communicate about, and even though I, you know, maybe I want to communicate because I want them out of my office, mm-hmm. that expanded awareness of, well, it'll happen over time, mm-hmm. and it did. Mm-hmm. It did over this long stretch of time, and now it's completely clean and clear and beautiful, and it just happened.
And if the eye had been able to do what it wanted, that would be, wouldn't have had that experience.
Uh-uh.
You would have missed it.
Such a good point. That's such a good point. Because what happens when the eye gets to do it is it gets urgent and stressed, and then a whole bunch of things happen. I feel pushed. Other people feel pushed, and then I feel bad because I pushed other people. And, you know, I mean, there's just a whole cascade of things that happen from that.
And I get reinforced.
The eye gets reinforced. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
I would like to look at this process of writing the nightly love letters to myself. although I hesitate to put it that way because it doesn't act, it's because of what I'll say here, but and it also seems related to the Meister Eckhart quote, "The same eyes with which I see God, God sees me," or whatever the real quote of that is, but that's the gist of it. Because when I first started that nightly practice of writing the love letter, there was a lot of resistance. And when I drilled down, what I saw was I didn't want to write to a me. It felt like, what am I going to say to this me? You know, and that did not feel inspiring. Mm. But then I heard it talked about in group a bit, and someone used the expression of it feels like exploring consciousness every night. Huh. Now that intrigued me. Okay, maybe I can do this. And so I started looking at how I would want to do that. And then along came the musings where Ashwini used the Meister Eckhart quote. And so it just opened up a possibility of how that could be in a way that really did feel like something that would that I would enjoy, and it would be fun to look at, and all of that.
So you wanted to look at the nightly practice of writing a love letter, and initially there was a lot of resistance because you were not inspired by the idea of writing to a me. Mm-hmm. And then in the course of sangha, what the guidance we actually received was, well, it might be a chance to explore consciousness, which mm-hmm. seems like a larger thing. And then a form of guidance and the musings article mm-hmm. talked about the quote from Meister Eckhart about the same eyes with which I see God, God sees me, and that seemed even bigger. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking that it's just what we were just talking about, that when things get bigger, there's the me kind of disappears. Mm-hmm. And there's a much wider range to roam in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And the one of the first things I saw in this process was it felt reminiscent of, you know how they say you can look at your journals from way back and they're all the same? Mm-hmm. Well, I was a really religious youngster and I would write letters to God a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was really good at praising God. That was the faith I grew up in at the time that I grew up in. And praising God, you know, and singing the praises and all the psalms and everything. And I was so good at that. And all my journals from a period of time are like that. Mm-hmm. And this felt like it was turning that on its head from being in the perspective of the creature who is seeing God to how God sees the human, the human being, mm-hmm. this human being in particular.
Mm-hmm. So you have a history of journaling from when you were a little kid and you were a religious little kid. I'm just interested that as you were talking about, you have a lot of energy about it. I praise God. I praise God in all your
journals. It's a fun place to be.
Praising God.
A fun place to be.
Using the songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And And so, and you might be cutting yourself out of energy behind that. And it's a fun thing to do. And what you find in your journal is that you have a sense of not so much the creature praising God as God kind of looking at the creature and praising the creature.
There was one letter that came out, and it was like, and God was saying, I know this feels shaky. because it does smack of all that egoism and all of, you know, that self-aggrandizement or whatever. But that wasn't at all what it really was. Mm-hmm. It was a recognition of the divine, the God is all of me. It was a recognition of that. Mm-hmm.
That's huge, isn't it?
Because
what conditioning, sounds like what conditioning wanted to tell you was, if you're trying to be God, praising you, but what you were seeing was that instead it was the divine recognizing the divine.
Yes. And to make that shift, I mean, it still isn't, it's not easy. It's not like a natural yet, like driving a stick show. Okay, I'm going to do this, I'm not thinking. I still have to, or I do anyway, I have to get really still and go to the imagination of, okay, in the eyes with which God sees me. And then, you know, and then I sort of have to make these mental acrobatics to try to get into a perspective that is big enough to actually see myself. Mm-hmm. And Sherry said something in a response in the email class about it's a fun place to be or something like that where you can see yourself as you see others. Mm-hmm. And that was such a very, very good practice. Mm-hmm. A good practice to try to see Rebecca McElwain with as much distance as I see Penny or Jen or you know or June and to just without anything going about that. Mm-hmm. Such a disidentifying practice, and that's what seems to be the movement that I'm training in mm-hmm. these nightly love letters.
Sounds like a depersonalizing of mm-hmm. the process.
Totally.
Yeah. And seeing yourself as, in a sense, as God would see you, which is one among many.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And you know, so then there's been this phase of seeing myself with that depersonalized and seeing all of the good things that she brings to life mm-hmm. and that she manifests and all of that. And so I do those, you know, and then I kind of keep waiting for the other side. Well, and we know sometimes you're and those haven't come yet. You know, and so it's funny, even the process of sort of watching out of the corner of my eye as well, it's like I'm going to see those too, and we're going to write about those too, you know, those times. Yeah.
Maybe God isn't interested.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was a letter or two that addressed that surreptitiously. It said, they kind of acknowledged, well, I know you see all those. And you put all those together, all the everything, the, you know, every, you know, embarrassing, ugly, whatever things, you put it all together from all the whole life, and I wouldn't blink an eye. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. things that may condition people just run the other direction, it's going to take me a bit. That was sort of the message yeah. that came through. And it was like that. It was just because it's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're, it's like I'm oblivious, but it's just no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, I just lie on the wall. Who cares? Yeah. Right?
And as I'm listening to you, I was thinking, you know, all that becomes available to life energy when it's seen through those eyes. Mm-hmm. No wonder conditioning wants us not to see ourselves that way. No wonder conditioning wants to say, "Oh, you're just self-aggrandizing," because all that this huge energy, really, of what acceptance and delight and all becomes available when it's not tainted by that conditioned voice that's looking for that other shoe to drop.
Yes, and that's really helpful. What I saw as you said that is that. That really what's happening here in this practice, this particular practice, is more and more that outside the circle is being brought in, mm-hmm. plain and simple.
Because mm-hmm. it's a bigger circle.
Yeah, and the circle is expanding. So I made the commitment, you know, being this wholehearted person, that, okay, I'll do this till the end of February, and then we'll reevaluate. You know? And so I'm beginning to see that maybe I do want to continue that, you know, because why would I want to stop that movement?
That feels like a central question, doesn't it? It seems like if there was an inclination to stop, why would I want to stop would be a really important question.
Yeah, and of course, I'm not going to make that decision right now because my commitment was, I'll live till the end of February, and then we'll see what happens on February 28th, you know, for my March commitment. But that's really good to hold in awareness is, well, we'll see, and we'll see who's seeing.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. It reminds me of there was a piece quote a while ago about how we desire things, but to imagine the things desire us. Ah. Remember that? Like the cup of tea wants to be drunk, and grass wants to, the earth wants to feel your
I don't remember that one, but that
was beautiful. And what it did, and again, it could be interpreted as egocentric by conditioning, but what it's really saying was that interaction between us and creation, between us and that which is, that we're part of that, and it loves us. And as much as we love it, and it just breaks down that separation.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Because, you know, and it just reminded me of an insight that I had during sitting meditation in the last week, which was there's a very different quality of wanting when it's that kind of wanting. Mm-hmm. And I had not ever seen it that clearly until I just saw it in that sit. It's like, and I could go back to... I mean, the insight was I went back to my things in my life where I wanted, and it was a resonance wanting. Mm-hmm. Very different than the ego wanting.
Yes.
And those things, the resonance wantings, seemed to happen unbidden.
Huh.
Whereas the ego wantings either happened or didn't happen through a lot of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they happened, it was through suffering. It was through... plowing through or making something out of this illusion of agency. Mm-hmm. It's good, I gotta get, you know, and it's just a very different experience.
Mm-hmm. The I that must make something happen, mm-hmm. and then just the wanting that seems resonant with what is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if it's not there yet,
yeah.
I sometimes it was like years.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I remember, I really resonated when I first heard about that, and look, here it is. It's kind of a thing.
And resonating is an entirely different word than wanting, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. But there is, even in that resonance, there is a, like you said, the grass wants you to walk out. It's a pull toward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let yourself be drawn by the deeper pull of what you truly love. That's really right. Let yourself be drawn by the deeper pull
that's
of what you truly love.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like that.
It is, exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you. June.
Shift so I can face you.
Okay.
Neck.
Oh,
I have this. Let me start again. I noticed that every time I hear someone, first of all, that was a very inspiring conversation. A good while I did our love letter and I did record it and listened to them the next day and that sort of thing, and I kind of quit. I think somehow it loses, I don't know what it is, I guess, well, of course it's conditioning doing it. And Thursday night here, I got very inspired about acknowledge.
Right.
Acknowledge this being the year of love and acknowledge. So it occurred to me to pick that practice back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And the love letters, can be acknowledging.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging. It'll be interesting to see when that gets boring to ego.
Let me reflect that much. You would have practice of writing love letters to yourself, recording them, and then in the morning listening to them. And somewhere that got lost. And so in a group on Thursday night, you were inspired by the idea of acknowledgement. And you talked about that this would be the year of love and acknowledgement, and that maybe that's a means by which to re-enter the writing the letters, that the letters could take the form of acknowledgement. And it'll be interesting to see when conditioning starts to object to that.
Yeah. So that's one thing. The original thing that Stripe was going to say is every time in group someone talks about, reveals what they say when they're reporting, the kinds of things that they say, and it just amazes me, because that I don't know what it is, but I can't stand my recordings most of the time. You know, and I do know what that is, but I can't see the way to get it to fix that.
So when people hear what they say on the recordings, you're kind of amazed, and what your experience is you can't stand your recordings, and you want to do something to fix that.
Yeah. And I suspect the real answer is record about that. And just record about it until the whole thing dissipates.
Record about that, because that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Until the whole thing dissipates.
Yeah, and I won't do it. I won't do it.
Well, I won't, no.
So, the thing that dropped in this morning, part of the type 9 karma in which this person participates is not being self-starter, just being kind of acted upon. And so what to move that energy or something, what occurred to me is training in having skills, people who have really been doing it for a long time and who, for whom it is just the air they breathe, reveal the kinds of things that they say, that they record about. What I've noticed is, it doesn't happen as much anymore because Sherry doesn't travel as much, but I used to just write endless descriptions of what the discussion or the workshop or that sort of thing was going to be about. And if someone, she or someone else, just gave me just a few sentences just off the top of their head. That's all I needed to take it and run with it.
So if someone gave you prompts, if someone gave you prompts, so this is the kind of thing I talk about on my recorder, that you can take that and run with it. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. There's just, a piece of karma. And I guess it's right here in front of my voice. and it seems, on the one hand, I want help with it. And then another way of saying that is I want it to get fixed. And I want someone else to help me change it. And probably recording everything I've said in this group would be a good learning one. And I'm hearing it in the corner somewhere.
So there's two different things. One is kind of Operation Kickstart, having someone help you just get going. And the other is someone who actually will help you fix it.
Yeah.
And those are two different things. And it would be very interesting when you get home to record everything you've just been talking about. Are there things you can imagine using as a prompt?
To be get to get recording started?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good question.
I mean, do you forget, or do you just...
Well, I'm about to record. Let's see. I have standards. Recording should be this good. Mm-hmm. And it should... something.
Mm. So it's kind of a message that stops you. It's not necessarily that you forget, but it's just you don't want to hear what it comes out
right.
of your court.
Right. And so a lot of times I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. When that happens, who's listening?
When I play back recordings, it's listening. Yeah. Well. Definitely, somebody who's pretty critical, or it doesn't. Let's see, it feels more like somebody who feels stuck in a place. Somebody in a great big field, stuck in a little tiny cage. There's this. I should come and call the office. And I'm over there sitting here looking at it that I see recording and listening as a very specific sort of that one that we do for a very specific purpose. And I'm talking about it and saying all these ideas that I have about it.
So seeing, recording, and listening is a very specific practice that we do for a very specific reason and apparently in a very specific way. The way it's, you know, coming out selling in a very particular way. You know, as opposed to, you can't do this wrong.
No, can't do it wrong, okay. And I keep coming back to how kind of inspired isn't quite the word, because it is kind of, I often am when I hear someone else talk about what they say when they record me, because it never occurs. It just doesn't. Again, there's that karma there that sort of stay where you are, inertia, withdrawn place, and I know the process of getting past that in other ways, in other things. Not listening to that, not being directed by that. Mm-hmm. I haven't gone there with recording and listening.
Do you see ways that getting beyond that can be transferable?
I'm not sure what you meant by transfer.
Well, you said that in other areas of your life.
Oh, transfer from one body.
Yeah, there are ways you get beyond that being stuck. I'm just asking if you see ways that might be transferable.
Well, the clearest answer is stop listening to all the junk.
Stop listening to that recording, right?
That's another thing. I don't experience it here. I'm back here behind my head as a little mouth. It's right here. It's right here
in your face.
This time, my face. Mm-hmm. It's me. A lot of the time.
Just one other thing, question occurs to me about, is the mentor involved in all this?
Well, that gets to be a problem. being stuck in that karma. There's no mentor left. And there's no real impulse, of course. Everything will be hell when it starts coming out of my mouth is obvious. But in that place, there's no impulse to find a mentor. You know, the impulse is to just stay in that nine energy. Everything is just fine, place, right until it isn't.
It sounds like there's some desire to get out of that.
Well, I'm just sitting here talking. It's easy to go back into my environment and forget. Of course, with the email classes and every other response is about recording. That's why I suppose it's an obvious one. All of this is up. And so, you know, I take it all in as I'm reading it, as we do, and I get inspired, and I get up and I walk away from the computer. That's all it takes.
All it takes to
flatline that energy. Willingness is the key to the name of the game. The name is the key to the game of awakening. I would really like to turn this one up. You know, I record not nearly like a lot of people, other practitioners do. I rarely listen. Rarely record anything other than quotes and things like that. I'm going to start recording. I'm going to jump in and get this recording. And go about that and start recording, acknowledging. Just what this person does. See where we go. See where it goes. And 100 times a day, the impulse was a recorder. I want to record something, and by the time I find the darn thing, or I can't find it, again, that my energy is there. It just.
Oh my God, that's why God gave us pockets.
I keep my phone in my pocket. And I keep my recorder in my pocket. I often keep my phone in my pocket.
So you're going to see how this goes.
I'll make a commitment to report on it every group and just shame myself into doing it. Make myself accountable.
Maybe shame yourself or acknowledge yourself.
Acknowledge myself. That's a very good point. Thank you.
Yeah. I love that piece. I can so relate to that. For me, I do most of my recording on my phone. And so, especially, you know, the whatever that name recording app is on an iPhone where you can add to the recording. But it takes some doing because you got to open the file, press edit, scroll to the end of it, and it's like, quick, you know, before the insight goes or the flatline happens or that. Like, really, it's funny to watch how quickly that can happen. And if the thing malfunctions, then it's like, oh, God. But boy, I am grateful that this came up this morning because it reminds me, it was maybe been just this morning that I was recording about it, or last night. But a giant re-insight around it, which was someone that I was talking with, thought had the insight. I so resonated with it, and then I think it came up again in group. But it was around, so I was looking, I guess it was last night, at just this thing, that sort of this place that's very familiar that I'm really, really, really earnestly working on. And I was recording about it, and I was just, I felt like, ugh. Like, just kind of getting to that same place, and I'm talking about it, and I'm saying this, and also at the same time, I'm like, well, no, but I mean, there's this about it, and but also that, and it's kind of this at the same time, and I don't really know, I don't know. And then, ding, this insight, I was reminded of this insight, which is that this is why the two-handed recording works. And what I'm doing right now really doesn't work. Because what I'm doing is I'm just talking about this thing. And I'm just kind of going around in circles, and it's not terribly inspiring to listen back to. And
getting a little tired of it.
Getting a little tired of it, and like that. And the insight, that the way that I heard this first person talk about it was, who was realizing that they were familiar with the two-handed recording, but in being given the exact instruction on how to do it again, kind of had a fresh experience of it, and realized, you know, I hadn't actually been letting the person in the right hand actually talk. And when I did that, what I realized was, it gave the mentor somewhere to go. It gave the mentor material to work with. And I had that experience just a few days ago, so in this thing that I'm really earnestly working on, and, you know, comes the about it, and I was like, great, this is it. Just press record, and just this, and this, and blah, 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 short, I don't know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, stop, listen back, whole thing opened up. Just in that sense of, it really gives the mentoring presence a place to start. And in my experience, that's the only place to start. Sorry, this is my deal, I guess, but is where we are. It's that portal that I always talk about. Because if we don't start where we are, we're not anywhere. It's in the Dhammapada, I think. It's like a shepherd counting someone else's flock.
Right.
It's a total waste of time, and it's not who I am, and it's not where I am, and it's not. So I can completely also relate to the thing of, like, it happens to me a lot when we do exercises or on retreat, you know, like, now go and record about this. I'm like, now I'm going to record about this, right? And it's challenging. You know, which is not to say there's a lot in that practice, I think, to practice just, okay, great, we're going to do this now. And it feels like I have to start where I am, whatever that is. And I think the reason I get stopped from that is that as I'm doing that, this is one of the pitfalls, I think, of having practiced for a long time, is I can also see that that's a conditioned perspective. And I can see that that's a limited perspective. And I can see that, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's not helpful at all. Do you know?
Yes. If what can be, what would otherwise be an awareness, this is a limited perspective, it becomes a commentary.
Exactly. Well put.
That this is, and then we get into the commentary.
Yep. And then I get shut down. And then it isn't a fun recording to listen back to.
Yeah.
Right? But if I'm allowed to have the experience, even though, well, I know I shouldn't be having this experience, you know, or I know there's a bigger perspective of it. It's like, I don't care about your stupid bigger perspective. That is not what's going on with me right now, you know? Yeah. And this is what's going on with me right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's such a sincerity in that person being willing to offer, almost a generosity, in that person being willing to offer it, that's what feels like it gives me intelligence. That, like, every time for me, what starts from the left hand is, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for all of that. And it's not like, yeah, you are right, there are a bunch of jerks and you should really, you know. It's just the, in fact, this particular time, there was sort of this thing to the mentor of, like, gosh, you know, to be honest, I don't have a lot to say on the content level, you know, but I'm absolutely here to listen to all of it. And I can absolutely see that you're going through that, and that's all right with me, and that makes sense to me, and, you know, who wouldn't feel that way, and, you know, all those things, and let's go through it together.
Yeah, what I'm hearing, and see if this feels right, is that we can go through an exercise, mm-hmm. or we can be authentic.
Yeah.
So, if I'm coming from authenticity, then the mentor is going to be responding to that, and that authentic person is going to hear it. Yeah. If I'm reporting out mm-hmm. about, then that's all the mentor has to deal with, and then we're both at a level of distance
exactly.
from what's actually happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's why even when we're facilitating, you know, we're assisting someone to have the experience. Because even as a facilitator, if someone is talking about, there's nowhere really to go with it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But there's no connection that can really we can really touch into, mm-hmm. you know. One of the particular things, it was a really extraordinary kind of a thing, when I was doing that particular tune-in and recording, was that the mentor was saying, you know, this image just dropped in of being the mother of a newborn infant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so such a sense of humor, like, okay, let's say you actually wanted to have this baby. Right? And so, I mean, it's an absolute and total miracle. Everything about it is miraculous. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And you want it. And you wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. And you'd do anything to protect it. And I'm not getting any sleep, and it's crying all the time,
yes.
and, you
yes.
know, I want to kill it sometimes, and, you know, and that's okay, mm-hmm. you know, it was sort of making this metaphor of, like, I'm going through this thing that is shaking me, mm-hmm. and, but it can, from that intellectual place, it can feel confusing, because I asked for this, I want this, this is precious, this is important. I love this with everything I've got, and I hate everything about it right now. And I just felt like that image was a mentor recognizing there's no conflict there. There's no conflict there.
Life is big enough to encompass it all.
Yeah.
And where conditioning wants to go is, you wanted it.
Exactly.
You know, see your role.
And why are you so grateful for it?
Yeah.
And what is your...
What's with you?
And you want to kill your baby? Like, wow, that is really demented. You know, just that... Yeah.
And you know, listening to Jim, it's no wonder it's hard for us to do that, because none of us, I don't think, growing up, are used to being listened to at that level.
Exactly.
So when you pick up that machine,
yeah,
and we have to literally practice
exactly.
coming from there, because not only nobody else but ourselves, we don't listen. We're not trained
absolutely.
To come from that level and expect to be heard.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's so true. It is so true. And that's another good example of starting where I am. And so then, you know, my recordings feel forced, or I don't really know. It's like, well, that's okay.
That's right. I'm training.
Yeah. You know? And there's that, you know, just like I would be with, you know, whatever, someone sitting on the cushion next to me, like, oh, of course. You know, we're all training to it. That's okay. That's part of the experience.
Yeah.
You know, that it's all completely all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all very helpful. I see that gosh, it's snowing.
It's really snowing.
I see that that looking let's see, the belief I have is that I've got to get past this nine karma stuff to make this happen, make this work, instead of recording about it until it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. That's so the belief that seems to be stopping it is, I have to get past this nine karma in order to make it work, instead of, this is where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that
let me put it in the right hand, you know, do the two-headed, put it in the right hand,
mm-hmm.
and reveal all that stuff, that all those little thoughts that trigger through all the time that are nothing more than that just the latter extreme. Mm-hmm. And just say it out loud into the recorder. Mm-hmm. And yeah, keep it in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of waiting to record until you get past that, record about that, record from that, and I have it right there. And one great thing about a recorder is it won't go, oh my God! You know,
it's a neutral too. That might be a whole other.
Mm.
Yeah.
So reflecting it. So to use the recording itself as the means to just look at this, the dips from this mind that gets stopped. And that's all there is to it. Just speak from there rather than I have to be someone else to record.
Yeah. You know, I have a sense of humor. That's when I record. Nothing comes up. Whoever picks that recorder up is somebody else. It's something. Okay. All right.
That's a huge clue, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm actually feeling like this is going to be kind of fun.
Even humorous.
Great, thank you.
We have a few more minutes.
I just have one more image that we're looking at. You know, just that place of all of the starting where I am, you know, picking up the recorder. It's like, okay, there will be no laughing on this recording. No, those are the rules. You know, so just that place, what was it? Oh, I was doing something the other day. Oh, no, it's something that I heard Alan Watts say on a recording years ago. I can't remember what he was talking about. You know, basically a psychotherapist, you know, kind of working with someone and they just can't get through it. And he's like, you know, another way to go is just go right at it. All right, frustrated. How frustrated are you? Well, that's what Cherry talks about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just to push it through to its limit, to the max. And just, that's absolutely another way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, just go right through the other side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just keeps stopping us.
Yeah. Fun.
I'm going to do that too.
Anything else? Thank you.